he'll pass. Sure enough, it did. Well, at 11:30, this guy came back. I was a board member on the board of directors for the West Loco and Girls Club. So we had that day, we had a meeting at 11:30. We always had a luncheon meeting. And 11:30 was approaching. I said, guys, I need to go. I need to go. He said, okay, fine. But let us pray for you before you leave. And I said, okay, just close the door. I didn't want anybody else to see what was going on in our office. And we closed the door, and he said, okay, kneel down. He said, man, I don't kneel for nobody. He said, just kneel down and we'll pray for you. And I said, okay, fine. I just wanted to get rid of him because I had a board meeting, right? So I kneeled down, and they laid hands on me. They put their hands on top of my head. And they asked, they prayed and asked me to repeat the prayer of salvation with him. And I tell you one thing, when I got up from that, from kneeling down, my life changed. It was an instant salvation in my life. That was the last day that I took or touched any alcohol. 22 years later, I have not touched alcohol. And I thank God that he called me from when I was a little boy. And I thank God for a grandmother that was Pentecostal. I thank God for my uncle Ben, because he was Pentecostal and he was praying for us. I thank God for my mother, that every time that we left, he says, Dios lo bendiga, mi hijo. To this day, she's 91 Violeta, right? And every time we leave, he says, Dios lo bendiga, and she, God bless you. Always told us, make sure that you go to church. So anyway, that's who I am. That's where I come from. But you know that God continues, even though we accepted him as our personal savior. Am I supposed to have done something? Right? The children. I'm sorry, guys. I just looked at Mike and said, man, this guy's need, I forgot something, right? Children, stand up. Huh? They were enjoying it? Yeah. Well, but they got a church to go to. God bless the children, right? Sam, you doing the right song? Cuatro, you doing okay? All right, Cuatro. How you doing, boy? Hey, wait up. Well, now you see that I have not been in this pulpit on a Sunday morning, right? You know that when God came into our lives, we were doing very well financially. And, you know, I had a business, and there was I worked for a company that at that time paid very well for the valley. And I know that God was preparing us for what's going to happen, and when we accepted the Lord. Do you guys remember the freeze of 1983 that went into 1984, where it was about 16 degrees for about a week and a half or somewhere in there, that killed everything and the economy went south? I worked for a company that manufactured the cans for Texan and Big Tex, the juice plants. I worked for Connell Can, a nationwide company. Well, when that freeze happened, the farmers, citrus farmers, decided that they were not going to pack or replant anymore for juice. They were going to replant enough just for fresh back. So they closed the plant down. And they're going my job. The economy went south. The company that I owned, we did work for the hospitals and for the banks. And you remember what happened to the banks during that time, right? You know, a whole bunch of banks closed down. And it was some lean times for us. But we had already accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives. So even though it was some lean times and we put every ounce of faith that we had in God, and even though that we did not see God's blessings when we called on Him, we still stood strong in His Word, and we gave and we paid our tithes as we could. Sometimes it wasn't much, but we were faithful in doing that. Before the freeze, we were probably, when we first came to this church back, we were in Mercedes behind a warehouse. We probably were one of the biggest givers at that time. We were not a lot of us there. Nena and Henry and Elizabeth were there. There was not a lot of us there, but we were probably one of the biggest givers, if not there are some others. So when you go from that to nothing, absolutely, almost nothing, you say, well, either you're going to make a choice, right? You're going to make a choice. Either you're going to revert back to how you're going to make it in the world, how you're going to scheme or try to manipulate the system so that you can get some of the money that you need to survive. But I decide, and don't think that I did not think about that, because I was a young Christian, right? Don't think that I did not think about that. I did. But we decided to stick with God and wait upon Him so that He could provide. Well, needless to say, we struggled, and then all of a sudden God started to move on our behalf. On our behalf. And remember, when I speak here in this altar, in this pulpit, is to glorify God. Everything that I say is to the glory of God. It's not to lift me up or anything, but I know that maybe somebody is going through what we went through. And I hope not. I hope that you don't go through the things that we went through, because it's tough. But if you're going to any struggle, I'm here to tell you that God is faithful. As the brother Lonnie says, sometimes you got to wait, because God is teaching us some lessons that we need to learn, that when He puts and starts to begin and opens the windows of heaven, that He states, He will open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing upon us that we, those lessons learned, that we will be prepared for those blessings. Because whatever God puts in our hands, whenever God blesses us, it's not for us to keep. Do you know that we live in this, in the United States, one-third of the world, we are the richest country in the world. And you know why God blesses the United States? You know why God blesses us? Is that we can help feed the other two-thirds of the world. When we stop doing that, when we stop blessing the rest of the world, the blessings will stop in this country. That I know, because it's in His Word. Because He says, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. That's what the word says. So we went from that, going through all that and struggling. And then all of a sudden, I was offered a job with the county. And I wasn't offered a job with the county. Actually, I just drove into the parking lot. I saw the county clerk, a friend of mine. I just stopped to say hello. He says to me, say, how you doing, J.D.? He's now the county judge. And he says, I'm ready to become the county clerk in January, and we're doing some good things. We're going to start some new programs for the county. And one of the new programs that we're going to start is we're going to bring in, I'm looking for somebody to develop a program for me, a collections department, to collect the court costs, fees, and fines for this county. And I said, I have experience in that. You don't have to look any law any anymore. I can use. And he said, really? He said, yeah. He said, well, if you pay me, I'll come. He said, I'm not going to come down here for $10,000 a year. So he said, no, I'll pay you well. So and he hired me. 6 years later, needless to say, I had made some contacts in Austin with the Office of Court Administration, which developed this program throughout the state. The Office of Court Administration is under the direction of the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Texas. And 2 years ago, the manager for the program calls me up. He says, look, Aaron, I'm going to fax you an application. I want you to fill it out. And if everything goes through, if your background check comes through, the job is yours. Why is it that we are where we are? Because God had supplied, and all the glory and honor to Him. At that point, before that, I didn't even know that I was going to have enough money for us to retire, because we were really hadn't put anything away for retirement, and I was getting up in age. When I started working for the county, I was 50 years old. But it's through God's grace that we are where we are. But God has always continued to teach me some lessons, right? And when I was asking God, when I was told that if I wanted to minister this Sunday by pastor, it was about 2 weeks ago. And I said, sure, I'm glad. I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready. I think I'm just waiting for God to give me a word. And I asked the Lord for a word to share with you today. He says, well, and actually, the word that he gave me is something that I also need myself. Because as soon as I asked him for the word, he says, grace. He put grace upon my heart. And what is grace? Well, in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. The phrase always with grace means gracious. It also has the idea of the Lord's influences upon our heart. And it reflects it in our lives. A kind word will build up. In Proverbs 10:20 and 21, the tongue of the just is as of choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. So, I go to, during developing the message, I go to the cleaners and to get my clothes. And the girl behind the counter was having a bad day. And I did not like the way that she responded to me, right? And I said, "Is there a problem?" And she says, "There is a problem. If you don't like it, go talk to the manager." That's what she said to me. So I said, "You know what? I don't need this from you guys. If you don't want my business, I can take my business somewhere else." So I took my tote bag out and said, "Here it is, I'm gone." So I started taking my clothes to another cleaner. Guess what? A lot higher prices than I was with this other cleaners. And so I said, "You know what? I'm going to take my clothes back to where I was before." And guess what? I met up with this girl, the same lady across the counter. And she looked at me and said, "Man, here comes this guy." And I went up there and said, "I need my clothes. My number is, 968-8386. And gave me the clothes. He gave me a dirty look, and I went and paid. And then God says, "You need to apologize." So I waited, because she was waiting in, with other customers, right? So I waited, and I said, "Ma'am, I need to apologize to you for the way that I treated you the last time I was here. I was out of line. Because if grace is not in our hearts, we are not going to be able to do this. If we are Christians or we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, there has to be grace in our hearts to treat other people. How are we going to show other people that we are what we are if we act worse than they act without knowing the Lord Jesus?" A mean or a hateful word can break somebody's heart. James 3:6 tells us that a tongue used wrongly is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it set on fire of hell. That's very powerful, no? Because our tongue, used wrongly, can destroy. But if we use it in the right manner, we should be building people up. Today, I want us to consider how to speak with grace. To speak with grace, we need to have grace in our hearts. According to Colossians 3:16, "Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, in wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." Before your speech can be always with grace, we need grace in our hearts. And you ask why? Well, according to Luke 6:45, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth what is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, or the heart, the mouth speaks." A person who says kind things has a kind heart. A person who says negative things has a negative heart. A person who says mean things has a mean heart. So with this, whatever is inside of us is what's going to come out. If we have a heart of kindness, kind things will be coming out of our hearts. And we will be treating people the way we should treat people. If we have a mean heart, what do you think is going to come out? Nothing but iniquity. The fire of hell will come out when we say mean things or we have a mean heart. We do not deserve anything in this world. We do not deserve to be treated better than anybody else. I was sitting at waiting for a rental car last week here at the Enterprise, and all of a sudden there comes this lady, and she was livid, man. Well, she was ready to tear down and tear up anybody that was in there, including me, and I didn't even work there. She came and says, I deserve better treatment because I pay my insurance and I pay good money to my insurance, so I deserve a better service than what you're giving me. And the young lady says, look, ma'am, the only thing that I did wrong is I know that we advertise that if you need us to pick you up, we can go pick you up. The only thing that we did wrong is we were not able to pick you up because we didn't have enough people here. But I cannot take you the car and leave to your house and leave you the car there because it's against policy. And the lady said, I do not care. I pay good money and somebody's going to hear about it. And I guess that lady had a bad day because, I mean, to be so outraged, I mean, that ruins the whole day. It didn't ruin the day for us, for me and that young lady, because we were kind of smiling and laughing after she left. I said, man, that lady really is having a bad day. Her husband was right next to her. And I told the young lady, I said, what would happen to you if your husband, or if you treated your husband that way? I don't want to know. But you know what I'm saying about a mean word, right? Do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This will meet with his approval. But would the Lord approve our speech? Surely he did not approve my speech when I treated that young lady at the cleaners the way I did. But I corrected it. And that reminds me of the disciples when Jesus was starting his ministry. He did not choose men that were eloquent in speech or had perfect character. The people that he chose to lead his ministry were characters themselves. Look at Peter, for example. Peter could cuss you, curse you, and then ask Jesus to pray for you. And that's true. He was a character. But you know the difference between Peter and Judas? Peter repented and asked for forgiveness, and Judas never did. And that's the difference that we in our lives that we have. That we might fall, we might say the wrong things, but if God is dealing with us, we can always correct it. So, upon this rock, the Lord said, I will build my church. And Peter was the first head of the church of Jesus Christ. Even though he denied him three times, and you know that a bird made him repent and cry three times. Remember what he said, Peter, when the crow crows three times, and what happens? He heard that bird and he started to cry and repented. And my what I'm trying to get across to you all is that as Christians, we're not perfect. Because there was only one perfect man that walked this earth with the Lord Jesus Christ. But because of His grace, we are not able to change our lives. Even though when we make mistakes, we can always go back and say, I'm sorry, I did not mean, I apologize, please forgive me. But it's got to be, you know, and to be honest with you, if you say that, it is a true statement because a lot of people cannot say I'm sorry. Even though they're wrong, they said, I'm not going to bow down and I'm not going to say I'm sorry. If they like it, fine. If they don't like it, fine. But we're different. We're different, ain't we, Bobby? We are different. You'll have a hard time yelling at other drivers in Jesus' name. It'll be hard for you to be screaming at your kids in Jesus' name, or saying unkind things about your husband or wife in Jesus' name, right? Right. One time, I remember that somebody came to visit us, and I got after my daughter, right? And I was upset with her, right? And then they came to visit us, and their son was sick, I think it was. And I said, well, okay, let's pray for him. And we prayed for him and all that. You know, I said, in Jesus' name, be healed and all that. And my daughter said, you just got after me, and now you're praying in Jesus' name? Say, well, I got after you because you deserve to get after. But what I'm trying to say here is that whenever we use, if we're going to use the name of Jesus, we make sure that we conduct ourselves the way the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to conduct ourselves, right? Excuse me, let me wet my throat a little bit. So are you guys enjoying this, or because I'm not Pastor LT, remember that. But I can teach, though. We need the grace. We need God's grace in our hearts. And the first step to grace in our hearts is a true salvation, because when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts, our lives need to change. And when we accept the Lord, our lives have to mirror God's life and what He did for us. We also have to completely submit to Him and His Word. Well, I'm going to test you today. See if you pass. So I'm going to and I'm going to see all your papers and I'm going to grade them. So if the ushers can pass them, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, but four tests of gracious speech. First of all, you need to know if it's true. And it's to be seasoned with salt. Salt was used to preserve, purify. Seasoned speech is truthful. Ephesians 4:15 tells us to speak the truth in love. Before we repeat any statement, make sure it's true. Someone said, I believe half of the things that I see and nothing of what I hear. Just because someone says it, it's not, it doesn't make it true. Is it It is easy to jump into the wrong conclusions. It's like this dog did. This dog, there was once a dog named August who was always jumping at conclusions. One day he jumped at the conclusion of a mule, and that was the last day of August. You'll get it in a couple of weeks. Now you get it? His name was August. He jumped at the wrong conclusion, or at the end of the conclusion of a mule. What does a mule do? It kicks, right? So that was the last day of August. Is it necessary? What you say may be true, it may be complete, but is it necessary? Ephesians 4:15, speak truth in love. 1 Peter 4:8, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity or love covers a multitude of sins. Some of the most hurtful words I have ever heard preceded by these words. It is true. It is true that I don't like you. It is true that I hate you. It is true that I despise you. Hateful words. Just because it is true, it doesn't mean it's necessary. There are times when things need to be kept. We need to keep things to ourselves. There's times when silence is truly golden. You don't have to, even though you know it's true, there's no need to repeat it. Is it kind? Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. And then in Ephesians 4:31-32, states that to let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. We need to determine to control our tongue. Say only good things about others. Remember that we're accountable. Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof on the day of judgment. Ask the Lord to help us. Psalm 141:3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the doors of my lips. What we say, it's so important, because out of the issues of the tongue comes life or death. So what we need to do is speak life to each other. And when we don't, we need to repent and ask for forgiveness real quickly, that it won't carry on for too much longer. We need to be careful with the people that are out in the world that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because your words, what you say, tells so much about us. Every time we speak, people judge us by the words that we use. Do our words build up or tear down? Show the love of Christ or drive them away from the Lord? That's a lesson that the Lord has been teaching me, because I'm not where I need to be. But I am getting closer, though, as you are. We just need to treat people the right way, just as we expect God to treat us, okay? We are not perfect, but we are still under construction. But aren't we glad that we have a manual that we can use, a book, to help us run our lives the way we should? Bobby. Anything you need, the Lord will meet your need. Bobby, remember what I'm saying, Bob. You and I go back a long way, right, Bob? You and I went to high school together. Anything you need, Bob. You need health. You need wealth. You need a sound mind, Bobby. Ask God, and He will provide it for you.